You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here's your host, paranormal researcher Patricia Baker, on the one, the only, Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, PK, all the way from Tucson, surviving that vicious heat wave. PK, how are you?
Melting. It is just horrible. You don't go shopping till after 11 o'clock at night because it's just too darn hot.
Oh, my God.
Picking up the mail is from the house to the mailbox, it's like walking in a blast furnace. So I'll be very happy to see it start to cool down a little bit, but they said it's supposed to go up again by Sunday. So
No. Say it isn't so. So
I
you are now,
would.
What, 107 out there?
It's 107. My back patio right now is 110.
Whoa, that's too hot.
Much too much.
Yeah.
If I wanted to lose weight, I'd go to the sauna. I don't need the sauna in my backyard.
Yeah, you sure don't. Oh, well.
Poor sorry animals, though.
Oh, I know. That's
animals
awful.
I just feel so bad for them. They're trying to. I put water out around the yard because you can tell they're just grabbing at straws, trying to dig anything to get a little bit of ground moving to find something that's cooler.
That's terrible. Well, we hope that you will continue to stay cool where you are and survive this thing. But do tell, what's going on with the numbers? What's happening?
Well, what we have to look at right now is just about the 4th of July coming up. July in itself has a lot of major things going on because it deals with, for the universe, everything dealing with finances. It deals with people in control, power people. It deals with leaders, those that are trying to, shall we say, reevaluate how things are to be done. I think we're going to see some things coming out of Washington that's going to deal with some angers where the finances are concerned. I think people are pulling some, if I would to say, slick moves. That way they're not quite kosher, but it's the way it's going to go. And those that are in power have gotten a little too greedy, more so than needy. And they expect other people to step in line and pay up for it. And it's going to create some problems. This health thing is going to blow some people out of the water before it finally gets to the table.
Wow. So it's all about the money.
It's all about the money. Those in control. And this is the year our president's in as well.
And what about the rest of us peons? How's it going to affect us?
For every one of us, the effect dealing with the financial side is going to affect all of us, because consider the universal stuff as our umbrella, then our personal things fall into line under it. So depending on what personal year you're in, and you can always go to my website and it'll show you how to find out what your personal year is. But whatever your personal year is, it has an impact. If you're in a 1 personal year with the 8, you're going to fight back over the power. If you're in a 2, you're going to be overly sensitive and feel like you've lost. The 3, they're going to be so scattered, not spending money they don't have. And when they're in a 4 year, they're going to go crazy because there's not enough to get around. It'll all be laid out for us, though. take a look. I'm sending out some things that will be put out the next 2 days.
So go to patriciakirkman.com, and there you can find what your personal year number is,
right.
And you'll see how all of this is going to affect you.
Right.
So that's a good thing to do. And now, are you having a newsletter put out?
I think the newsletter was going out this afternoon, and I do a fair on Sunday. But most importantly, I have been giving lessons. I'm going to postpone them till the fall because I've got quite a few people that are looking for some direct answers as to what's going on with our world right now. And a lot of people are doing a little shake, rattle, and roll, and it's not necessary. Just get a grip on what is happening. Make it work for you, not against you.
Exactly. So sign up for PK's newsletter. Mm-hmm. Sign up for Supernatural Girls newsletter, The Fringe
Definitely.
Files, which you will find on our website, supernaturalgirlswithz.com. Follow mm-hmm. us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to give us a like. Now, we got to move into this paranormal news we have. It's very,
yes.
very weird. Now, this is on our Facebook page, everybody. We have mm-hmm. posted a video of what we believe, and we concur with the person who took this video, is a video of the holographic universe that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
One half of the sky is bright blue. The other half of the sky is a different shade of blue, a little cloudier, and mm-hmm. there's a straight line going down the middle of this right. video. Right? And then you'll see a plane that's traveling from left to right, but all of a sudden it's not in the left side, just appears on the right,
right.
side. This is beyond belief. I mean, I had to watch this a bunch of times, didn't you?
PK? Exactly. I saw it, looked at it, and I kept thinking, well, okay, now let's see what's going to happen next.
I know it.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. So everybody go to the Facebook page for Supernatural Girls, and you can watch the video there. It's only a few minutes long, but it very clearly depicts two separate skies.
Does definitely get your attention.
World? Yeah. What's going on? So is this proof of the holographic universe? It's proof of something. We don't know what, but you definitely need to check it out. Now, also, Tom Palladino, who's been mm-hmm. on our show, is offering 15 days of free, that's completely free,
right.
scalar wave treatment. So go to creativestrength.us, and there you can sign up. He doesn't want your credit card, doesn't want any payment. He is
all free.
Offering this as a healing treatment for anybody who wants it. Again, that's at creativestrength.us, and you can learn about scalar energy there, what it is, but more importantly, sign up for the 15 days. It's really kind of cool, and it works, so you can find out what it can do for you. It can also work for your pets, and you can sign up your pets to be treated mm-hmm. by Tom's scalar machine. So definitely check that out. And again, for us, you want to keep in touch with us by following us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. We got it all going on. Yeah. Don't miss out.
And you're also doing some readings, aren't you, right now, Patricia?
Doing readings, doing dream analysis. Thanks right. for reminding me. Yes. And it's time, everybody, to pay mm-hmm. attention to your dreams. I mean, I know you don't want to do it. It's extra work. It's really not. This is your birthright. This mm-hmm. is your consciousness. You really need to expand so you can communicate with the deeper levels of yourself as well as other beings. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Right.
Talking about communication with other beings, Bigfoot, mm-hmm. ETs. We have a wonderful couple joining us this evening. They're a super couple. That's what I call them, a super couple. And they are Bigfoot whisperers. They have contact with other entities. They have so much to tell us tonight. Terrific book we read this week. It is called The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection.
Right.
Great book. We couldn't put it down. Highly,
highly
recommended. One of two great books written here. And the authors, Kelly and Kawani Lasparitis, they are here with us tonight. They're the experts. We mm-hmm. are going to ask them all kinds of questions. And if you have questions, then write them in the chat room. It's www.irnchat.com. That's irnchat.com. We'll ask your questions for you. We'll get answers. We're getting answers tonight. You know why? Because the truth is right here on Supernatural Girls right. Radio. So we want to welcome our guests. So welcome to the show, Kelly and Kawani. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Now, you are out in Washington State, and how, we got to find out, first of all, how'd you get into this? How did you become friends of these forest people, the Bigfoot? How did this happen?
Well, for one thing, I started this research 61 years ago, and I didn't know until about 10 years ago or 12 years ago that they told me they were there at the moment of my birth.
Oh,
and
okay.
The different experiences I had that I couldn't explain was them growing up. And, but, at, I read an article about them and immediately said, well, these are a people. I didn't classify them as an animal or a monster, but a people. And that's what I've always projected whenever I was in the forest. We unknowingly project on an unconscious level to animals, to people, and to the forest people here. So this is, I right away was in a frame of mind that was acceptable to them. I didn't have any fear or anything, nothing negative. But then in September of 1979, when I was in Wisconsin, a Sasquatch and an ET talked to me simultaneously, and I wasn't afraid, but I was just really confused. The telepathy and these two different beings, I'd never associated the Sasquatch with ETs, but here it was, and it's been ongoing ever since.
Quite an exploration. So you have a very close relationship, both of you, with Bigfoot. And it's friendly, it's loving, and from what PK and I understand, they really want to talk to people with it that have an open heart. So that's both of you. You have an open heart. They feel safe with you. They approach you. They share with you their thoughts, their feelings. And you must be feel very honored about that.
Well, yes, but I've never given it a lot of thought. This was not a an ego trip or whatever. It's I realized it was to help the planet and to be a go-between between their world and our world. And because I'm a writer and a professional speaker and so forth, that I have the credibility with 4 degrees and so forth, that they wanted to me to represent them. And I didn't realize that at all in the beginning. It was just, in fact, I was a little naive. I just thought, well, they'll come a few times and that's it, you know. But it's they've changed my life, and now that Kelly and I are together, they've changed our lives, and they keep changing it for the better. So we're very honored, actually, you know, that they're in our lives. I mean, it's just wonderful, the many things that they've done for us and different healing work, helped us out, give us mm-hmm. advice and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, when did you become involved with Bigfoot and Sasquatch? What was your draw?
It was in 2012 that I had my biggest experience that mm-hmm. really kind of occurred caused the rest of my life to occur from there. Like him, I also had a Sasquatch and an ET visit me at the same time. And I'd been studying up on this. I had really been going through, you know, what you call a spiritual awakening, so that my thoughts and my feelings were changing and everything like that. And I knew this to be truth, and I knew that when I was experiencing it, that it was definitely happening, although it was just really hard to explain to anybody. You know, there was nobody in my regular life that I could talk to about this, because it didn't make any sense. Right. And so I contacted Kiwoni. I purchased his book as well and found his phone number in there. And so I gave him a call to just kind of help put things into perspective for me. And since that time, my communication with the Sasquatch really increased since then. Regular telepathic communications and, you know, channeling messages from them and things like that. And, you know, after a while, they started telling us that, you know, we should be together, or that we have a higher purpose together, and that we're going to help one another and things like that. And so that was all kind of strange, too, because we lived, you know, over 2,000 miles from each other, and didn't really know anything about each other on that kind of personal level. So we just decided to, okay, well, you know, I believe you. Let's just go with it and see how things happen. And so we ended up, you know, eventually we started talking on the phone every day. And 10 months later, we finally met. He flew out to see me and all of that. And, you know, it was instantly we fell in love, which we kind of expected that to happen anyway.
Beautiful.
But I also understand from the Sasquatch and from the Star Elders that it's a deeper connection than what's just in this lifetime, that he and I and several people nowadays are direct descendants of the Sasquatch people. And, you know, basically it's a cosmic something that we agreed to before we ever came here, that we would come and be involved in this realm of things, and to be helping humanity and to be bringing about this truth. So, you know, the involvement with them actually goes much deeper.
That's wonderful.
In those that recognize the truth, that's fine. Those that don't, it's also fine. Mm-hmm. There's people at different levels. So we don't argue with people, and, you know, when they say, oh, I don't believe in that and so on, that's fine. You know, nothing to argue about if that's their opinion. And we can only share what we know as the truth, mm-hmm. because it's, for example, I've been contacted over 1,000 times, way over 1,000 times. So do I think that maybe it didn't happen? Well, I, after all that, I think I should know. Yeah. And plus,
definitely.
Documented 404 people, percipients, who also have had telepathic experiences. Three of them were physicians, one was an attorney, three were college professors, and two were scientists. So, and then people from all walks of life. So they also have objectified my reality. But, you know, William James said it takes only one white crow to prove that all crows are not black. Well, analogously speaking, I have 404 white crows. How many more white crows do I need to say that, to be accepted, that this is a reality? I'm not really trying to prove or push anything, but because based on the present paradigm, scientific paradigm, all this is not real, because it cannot be proven, kind of thing. And that the Sasquatch say that our science is very immature, and that they have to kill things in order to make sure they're alive, they're real, you know, or they were once alive.
That's true. Yes.
And they think this is barbaric and crazy, and which I do now too. I mean, I they're teaching all these years. They were teaching me things, and they were teaching also Kelly. So these are some of the things that we've come to realize, and we're always going to have people challenging us, which is okay, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've learned a lot about the Bigfoot directly from them, and that's one of the things we really want to hear. But where are the Bigfoot from? They're not native to this planet, are they?
They are, in a sense that they were, they were created with a native race when they were seeded here on Earth. So technically the Sasquatch people are native to Earth because they were here before us humans were, and they were the first mammal race that there was. There was a long evolution on Earth. So that it was first the fish people, then the ant people, the lizard people, and so on until the mammal people, who were the Sasquatch, were the first ones here. Although they say that they were produced from star elders, star dust from other star systems, primarily the Pleiades, but not completely. And they said that they were also mixed with a giant lemur that was here on Earth. And so they're part of this giant lemur that used to be in Lemuria, which is why they were seated there in Lemuria when they first came here to when they were first brought here to Earth.
And they have some unusual abilities. I mean, usual by our standards. They are interdimensional, mm-hmm. and they are physical. They're both, according to what I was reading in your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they can move from one dimension to another. They understand portals. They know how to use them.
Yes, and actually they're so advanced that they don't even have to necessarily use the portals. Nowadays, the portals are a more unsafe way of traveling just because humans have learned how to manipulate the portals. And so they actually choose other astral body modes of travel, like they use bilocation or multi-location, or they can just do things. It's just like with intention, it's not something that I can really explain how they do it because I can't do it, you know, but basically they do have access to all these different realms and dimensions, and they're able to just, with their consciousness, just go there or
Amazing.
Be in multiple places at once.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They told me they have access to 8 different dimensions. And I've seen them dematerialize in front of me 3 times.
Mm, completely. Incredible. So that yeah. they're there and then they're gone.
Right,
yes.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they also, of course, they shapeshift quite a bit. And here recently we found some tracks, some really large tracks that were obviously Sasquatch. They were gigantic footprints. And so we followed them, and then they turned into coyote tracks, and then it turned back into Sasquatch tracks.
Oh, my goodness. Sakes.
Yeah. Yeah,
they did that deliberately so they would find it, because they do that as a gift because it's so unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave the tracks, or sometimes some feathers in the track, or a number of things like that as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Now, I've got a question for you from John in the chat room. And he says, hi, I hear you guys refer to them as people. Is this because they are genetically closer to Homo sapiens?
Well, yes, but the thing is, they are people in spite of how they look. I mean, you must keep in mind that when Darwin came out with a theory of evolution, the British rationalized slavery using that and saying, people in Africa are not entirely human, so therefore they're they're supposed to be slaves, you know, and Darwin has sort of proved that. They said, this is outrageous. This is outrageous. So I said in my books that there's racial prejudice going on because people look at the Sasquatch and they just see a hairy biped. And they don't take the time to try to communicate or do something friendly. So they are like they're 100 times more human than we are and more intelligent than we are even. First of all, they don't go around murdering each other. They don't start wars and they don't destroy the environment that sustains them. So who's more human here? I mean, we're like, they view us as little children, actually.
Right. And their DNA is more than 99% shared with our DNA, or I guess you could say vice versa, since they're the first people that were here. But we are more closely related to the Sasquatch people than any other mammal on the earth. And we can breed with them as well. We carry the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very surprised to read that in the book that there have been reports of Bigfoot women approaching human men and wanting to breed with them. That was kind of
different.
I didn't like that.
You were just upset it wasn't you.
No, I'm glad it wasn't me. I mean, really, it just it sounded so odd. Why would they want? We're just not that nice, you know. We're all of these terrible things for the most part. Unfortunately, why do they want to breed with us?
Well, for one thing, they feel close to us, and I was approached by a female. Ancient one with a human face, and she was extremely beautiful. And she said, "Would you come up to the mountain? I want to for us to make love." And I said to her, "I said, well, right now I'm helping someone and that needs my help." And she said, "It's good to help others, but I'm lonely, and I want you to come up to the mountain." And she had green eyes and absolutely beautiful. And I declined. Thinking back, of course, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should have done it just for science.
Sacrifice yourself, sure. Yeah,
I couldn't resist that. I just couldn't resist that.
Yeah, but there's a higher purpose in that, too. I mean, sometimes they are just lonely and looking for companionship. But they're also very attracted to us as humans, too. But there's also some people that, you know, I guess the situations are different, but where, you know, breeding is involved, and sometimes it's something that was, you know, already set up and established even from, you know, a former lifetime or something like that, you know, so that the Sasquatch could remain in the human gene pool. Because I know of a couple people, Sunbow, who wrote the Sasquatch Message to Humanity, who channeled that message in his first book. He describes how he was told by Camus that he is part Sasquatch, and he learned the story of that. And it's funny because he didn't know that was an untraceable part of their lineage and his family, where they were unable to determine, well, where did these genes come from? Well, they were Sasquatch.
Yeah, this
That's
is
fascinating.
This is his book, The Sasquatch Message to Humanity.
Interesting.
Gonna have to read that one too. Well, it is fascinating because there's so many wonderful attributes that you describe in your book that Bigfoot has. I mean, the ESP that's so highly developed, the ability to move between dimensions, the understanding of Earth, and the love that they have for the planet, and I don't know why for us, but for us. And that's all good. I mean, those are all wonderful things. But that, again, begs the question, then why would they want to breed with us? Because we are much lower on this evolutionary totem pole. So it's just a question I have in my mind.
Yeah, they're in general, they're disgusted with the human race, but at the same time, they but you know, they want us to walk in unconditional love. So that's extremely important, no matter what happens, to do that, which is difficult to do at times. But again, these are things they shared spiritually with us, and they don't waste words. If they wanted to say something, they don't just say, oh, well, I'll just kind of mention it. No, they don't just mention it. They talk about it, and that's it. They're really, if they bring it up, it's important.
Yeah, that's interesting. So they don't mince any words. They say what they mean, and that's it. All right. Well, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to dig deep into this tonight. We're going to get all your questions answered. So, again, feel free to contact us in the chat room, irnchat.com, irnchat.com. I see there's more questions lining up. We will get to all of them tonight. So stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, PK, roasting in Tucson. And tonight, we have our wonderful guests, Kelly and Kawani, who are the Bigfoot Whisperers. They are telling us all about the Bigfoot, where they've come from. We're going to find out what they eat, what they do, what they, well, we know what they think of us, the human race. We kind of agree with them. There's a lot we need to find out. We've got questions in the chat room we need to ask, and so many more questions on our own. So let's deal with a couple of these questions from the chat room first. Here's one from Starlight. Starlight wants to know, how far back in time can you trace their ancestry?
The Sasquatch people?
Yes.
In the book, The Sasquatch Message to Humanity, Camus says that they've been here about 200 million years.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of history there. Okay.
Yes, and keep in mind that in Paloxi, Texas, in the limestone in the Paloxi River, there's 24-inch footprints. And right beside it is footprints of dinosaurs. And the university people would not come down and look at it. They proclaimed it a fraud and that somebody chiseled them out, which, of course, it didn't. So one of these footprints, and there's lots of them, with a dinosaur beside it, either it was following the dinosaur or the dinosaur was following it, and it went underneath a slab that weighed several tons, and it came out, the footprints came out the other side.
Oh.
Well, you know, there was no way to move that to see if there was footprints underneath, because obviously if there is, that's one way to prove that these...
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
They're authentic. So
exactly.
A dentist who was interested in paleontology hired a crane to pick up that slab. And when they did, there was a footprint continued on right through the other side.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that
so
something?
I asked the Sasquatch, I said... Were these from hairless giants, or were they from your people? They said, no, it was from our people. The hairless giants came much later. They were seeded much later. And then your people were finally seeded. I mean, keep in mind, the indigenous peoples all over the world say that they were brought here. The American Indians say that. The name Anishinaabe is the name they give themselves in the Great Lake Woodland Indians. And Anishinaabe, if you ask an anthropologist, you say, well, it means the first people. But if you transliterate it, it means Anishinaabe means we the people who have come far from beyond the sun.
Amazing.
Yes.
So these are been mislabeled by science as folklore and legends and all that baloney, when they are really hindering the advancement of science because of their scientific paradigm that needs to be changed to include the paranormal. Well, if people don't like the name paranormal, they say it's unscientific, then use the word quantum physics because it's synonymous. It's one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
we agree. It is time for a new paradigm.
It is mainstream, mm-hmm. and it has been all along.
It has.
It's just yes. people are fearful and being put down. If a professor says, "Oh, I'm, you know, had this experience," and "Oh, no, you didn't," you know, that's not real. So
yeah.
you know, they're and I'm a social scientist, so I have changed a lot in. Because the Sasquatch influenced me and the ETs influenced me on what's going on the planet and what reality is. And it's certainly not the way that science is describing it,
science. Anyway. I mean, science has a very narrow perspective. And if you don't agree with their narrow perspective, then they have their ways of trying to put you down and make you feel stupid. But we all know that it's time. To expand consciousness, it's time for a new paradigm. It's time to include Bigfoot, ETs, etc. It's not about what if or do you believe. They're here. They're real. We know that on this show. Our audience knows that.
Right.
And it's time that we learn more about the Bigfoot and the ETs. And that's why we're so thrilled to have you both on the show to inform us, because you have direct contact. What better way to find out all about the Bigfoot and the ETs that you've met than directly from them? It's great. So here's another question. This is from Diane. Excuse me, Denise. Denise says, was the original Patterson film an authentic Sasquatch?
Yes.
Yes, it's authentic. And this was October 20th, 1967. I was living in East Africa at the time, and my mother sent me the whole article and the pictures and everything that was in Argosy magazine, which is now defunct.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, I asked the Sasquatch about this back in the 80s, and they said, yes, that it was one of our people.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are people getting pictures of Sasquatch, and people are refuting it, and that's okay, because science isn't going to accept that anyway from a photograph. And they know that, but they want people to know they're real, so they allow a few fuzzy pictures or them walking away off to the side where you really don't get that good a look. So to let people know, yes, we're real and we're here, even though it's not the ultimate proof by science anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, we've heard that they don't like to have their picture taken. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
They don't. Why?
Right.
Why don't they want their picture taken? They don't like it.
Well, because they can feel all of the emotions that are sent their way. They don't necessarily always mind getting their photograph taken, but they don't care to have them published publicly because they can feel everybody that's making a judgment against it and saying that it's fake and, you know, all of these different emotions. They're so sensitive to that they can feel that. And part of a reason why most of the pictures of them turn out all fuzzy is because their frequency is just so much higher that it's nearly impossible to take a good photograph unless they do something to lower their frequency so that we can capture a good image, like how Patty did on the Patterson-Gimlin film. She intentionally did that so that we would have that image of her.
See, they don't want us, I don't mean Kelly and I, but people in general to get good photographs of them or good film of them because they'll be exploited. They'll want to sell it for $1 million or $500,000 or whatever, and they do not want this. So they don't want people exploiting. They don't trust us. So,
what a surprise.
Yeah, I wonder why. Is that very similar to when they were started taking photos of the Indians way back when they felt like it was taking their soul?
Right. Yes. That was a piece of their spirit.
So they still feel that that's the same type of feeling.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's because it's really depends on the intentions of the photographer. Why are they taking that picture? And that's what they feel. Yeah.
Well, here's a question from one of our buddies and somebody you probably know quite well is also Peter Shampoo. And Peter has written in, he says, do the big people live on plasma? Being a large being, it would seem they would need to eat a lot and often, but are found in marginal habitats.
Yeah, I know that when they're traveling, when they're in higher dimensions, they don't need food or water. You know, there's just no need for that because they're light beings. They vibrate at such a higher rate that they don't need any kind of food or water. While they're here physically on Earth in a lower dimension, they do eat, but I really can't say how much for sure. Some of them just are fruit eaters, you know, plant eaters, root eaters, and things like that. And every now and then they will kill a deer or something like that to eat it. I think maybe it just depends on the conditions, or, you know, maybe they're even having a Bigfoot party and want to have a nice steak.
Like a pig roast, they have a deer roast. Okay.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, well, Peter brings up a good point because they are so large. You know, you would think that they would need some enormous amount of food. But they obviously know how to take care of themselves. And I've also heard that they like to eat bread products, donuts and sweet things like that. Remember that? You've heard that before. They enjoy those.
Keep in mind that there's still individuals. If you lined up 10 crocodiles and they were all 12 foot long, and I could predict if you jumped in a swimming pool with one of them, I can predict what's going to happen. I don't care which one it is. But with a Sasquatch or an ancient one, they're people, so they're different in what they like and don't like. Mm-hmm. For example, a woman in Texas, her and her husband were interacting with them, and she made this real nice chicken sandwich, you know, all natural and everything, and put it out there, and they never touched it. She was a little upset because it spoiled in the heat and everything, and they just didn't like it. So the next day, she put out spaghetti, and they ate it. Huh? So, you know, it's all a matter of preference. And, you know, some people, you know, that I've met, they want to go out to eat somewhere, and it's, well, we could go to Chinese food. Oh, I don't like Chinese food, somebody
would
say.
Right, yes.
It's their preference, you know, whatever they like. And it's the same with the Sasquatch. So you can't label them just one thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. I suppose most of them would never really have an opportunity to try human food, you know, unless we're offering it to them. I do know that they like chocolate. They've told me that they like chocolate, but come on, who doesn't, you know? So,
that's universal. Well, here's another question from the chat room. What do you hope we take away from your experiences if we happen to stumble across a Bigfoot for the very first time?
Well, you mean if it's proven? Is that what?
No, this gentleman wants to know what should we do? So let's say we stumble upon a Bigfoot, his first encounter. What should we do? What can we learn from you and how to interact with a Bigfoot?
Well, first of all, let go of all fear in exchange for love and trust. Love and trust. Now, this being may be 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 feet tall, and they get that big. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you want to let go of fear. That's really important. I would either sit on the ground and to make myself more vulnerable, or sit on a log and think good thoughts towards the Sasquatch. I mean, I wouldn't say, my God, he looks like he's going to eat me or something like that. You know, that's negative. It's a negative thing. You know, I would say, you know, my, he's tremendous build and he's handsome and he's think the good thoughts, you know, but certainly he's going to know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're thinking, you think good thoughts. You don't perturb it and say, gee, if I had a gun, I'd shoot him. And just thinking that, because one Sasquatch in 1981 did that. It was a white Sasquatch up in northern Wisconsin, and there were three people, and they saw it running from tree to tree. And all of a sudden, it just got upset and started coming towards them, and they ran into the A-frame that their one of them owned, and it pounded on the door and on the side. It was just got upset. And when I was interviewing these people, they said, he was going to kill us. And I said, no, he wasn't. I said, I'll tell you right now, he wasn't. So, oh, yes, he was. He pounded on the doors and this and that. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, we didn't do anything. So I thought for a minute. I said, what were you thinking when you first saw him? He said, well, if I had a gun, I would have shot him.
Oh.
That's why you perturbed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the answer.
Right.
How many
thoughts?
How many are together at any given time? How many have you seen together?
Well, I've seen like a group of five before, mm-hmm. but last year was our first conference that we held up at the Chewila Peak Learning Center, the Spiritual and Psychic Sasquatch Conference. And they told us that they were preparing to bring many here, and that they're gathering the tribes to bring them up for the conference and things like that. And then also during our wedding ceremony, there were quite a few. So
it's a few hundred.
Really? My goodness.
And it's hard to like give an exact number, but I'll tell you that the presence of the Sasquatch during our conference was in the thousands.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody there could feel them very intensely. Many people had their first sightings or their first telepathic communication and things like that. So it's really incredible. We're having it again this year, September 1st through 3rd. So.
And this is in Washington State where you are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. People can go to www.psychicsasquatch.com, psychicsasquatch.com. And also they can go to www.sasquatchpeople.com for more information on all this.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yes,
fascinating.
Yes, it is. It's amazing the beautiful connection you have. And, you know, one of the things we wanted you to talk about tonight is that when you have asked them to help you and others to be healed, mm-hmm. they have done it. They
yes.
have responded. Can you tell us about that, whether you want to share about yourself or someone else? These are beautiful stories. They're all in the book, by the way.
Right.
For everybody, you guys got to get
yes.
the book. It's great.
I was having experiences when I was living in Oregon, and I arrived there in January of 1984, and I started having experiences right away. When I was living in a cottage in the Oregon foothills of the Cascades, and the Sasquatch would come up onto the deck of where I was living. And I also noticed, which I found strange at the time, that I was seeing spaceships coming in and landing behind this mountain that was right there in front of me. Mm. And I, you know, at first I thought it was just a coincidence, but I soon learned it was not, that these were, whatever they were doing, I was just in a key place to see this, to observe it. But I injured my back years ago, and then in 19, 87, I'm not sure what happened, but I had a ruptured disc where I was unable to walk at all, and I couldn't take one step. And the pain on a level of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, my pain was a 10.5.
God.
All I could do was lay in bed. Now, when I went to several doctors, first I went to a chiropractor, and he said, oh, no. He says, you need to see a neurosurgeon immediately. So when I did, he wanted to do experimental surgery, and I said no. And then he said, look, I'll give you some painkillers, but when these are through, when you're through taking them in 10 days, I guarantee you, you'll be back begging me for the surgery. And I don't know why I said this, but I said to him, doctor, you'll never see me again. And of course, I didn't.
Good.
But I was in a wheelchair, and I wheeled myself out, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But I thought of everything, and except asking for help from the ETs. So I laid in bed. That's all I could do. I couldn't do anything. And friends and neighbors were bringing food over, doing my laundry for me and things like that. And so I telepathed asking for a healing. I did it all day long, nothing. The second day, I mean, these are long days when you're in pain and you can only sleep about 4 hours a night. And just stressed, exhausted from the pain. So all day long, the second day, I telepathed, and finally I just broke down and wept. I'm so frustrated. Nothing's happening, and I just felt totally lost. And here I am, always backpacking and climbing mountains and everything in my whole life, and all of a sudden I couldn't walk, and this was really awful.
Yeah.
So that's the second night when I shut the light off. I heard shuffling of feet, of little feet. And as best I could, I turned around, even though it was difficult for me to turn around. And there were three, roughly 4 foot tall beings in little spacesuits. And they said, we're here to heal you. And I said, thank you. God bless you. And they put me out instantly. Well, I hadn't been able to sleep, like I said, for about 3 weeks. And but during this time that they were doing some healing work, I heard a strange voice that woke me up in my head. And that was them talking to each other, and somehow it filtered into my head, into my mind. And it woke me up, and I opened my eyes up, and I looked, and there was one to my left, one to my right, and one behind me with some kind of a cylindrical object. And I looked up at him, and I said, oh, it's only you guys. I love you. I said, just like that. I mean, what do you say to someone that's come to heal you?
Exactly.
Saying God bless you and I love you are the two highest forms of adulation in the universe. And so I did, and then they put me back out. Well, 10.5 hours later, I woke up completely rested with zero pain. I sat at the edge of the bed saying my morning prayers, giggling and laughing, because I knew something absolutely close to a miracle had happened. And I was just sitting there giggling. I couldn't believe it. So I got up and I walked to the bathroom with no pain. So I could still feel a pressure back there. I stayed at home all day, and that night they came again and said, well, we have to work on you one more time. And I said, fine, come ahead. And so that pressure was gone the next morning, because it was completely taken care of. And the interesting thing is they didn't even ask me if I had insurance, you know. But about 2 weeks later, I was going to visit a close friend of mine that had a 1,000-acre ranch in the wilderness. And I used to go and spend the weekend, 2-3 days there and stay overnight. Well, that's what I was going to do. But that Friday I was going to leave, I realized that I didn't go in town to draw some money out of the bank. And this is before the ATMs. You know, this is 1987. So I quickly drove into town, and when I got there, it was 7 minutes to five on a Friday, and it closed at 5 o'clock. So I'm jogging down the street as fast as I can, you know, to make it to the bank in time.
And just we're on the edge of our seats, but we're going to have to hang tight. We've got a very short commercial break we're going to take.
Okay.
We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to hear the rest of the story. I hope you got your money to get out to that ranch. We're going to find out how this all happened and what this has to do with Bigfoot. So stay tuned, everybody. You are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. Be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with PK and our incredible guests tonight.
Definitely.
Kelly and Kawani Lapsaritis. They are authors of a book. I'm going to show you the book. There's two books, actually. We only have one to show you. The Sasquatch People.
This one.
And their interdimensional connection. These two lovely people that are spending their evening with us. It's a great book, and they are great people. They have lots of really solid information about the ETs and the Bigfoot. These are the go-to people if you want to know what's really happening. Now, we have a couple more questions from the chat room. Then I want to talk about this military involvement, which I found, and I know you did too, PK, deeply disturbing. But we got to get to that too. So here's a question from Denise Clark Press, who is saying, we have a yearly conference here in Salt Fork Park, Ohio, and sightings have supposedly happened at Salt Fork. Would you know if these sightings are genuine?
I wouldn't know if they are, but, you know, if they're seeing them, they're trying to show themselves more and more, and that's, you know, but I can't really answer that. That's too general a question.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it myself, but the Sasquatch did say that they're going to be coming out to more and more people, and that the veil is thinning, basically. So more and more people are going to have experiences where they're seeing strange beings or spaceships or just other odd creatures that have never been seen here on Earth before. So it wouldn't surprise me at all that they're having some experiences and sightings there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, you both feel strongly, because of you've been told there is a strong connection, and because of what you've seen, between Bigfoot and ETs. And in your book, you also talk about people that have had similar experiences, but they've also been threatened by the government. They've been told not to have any more to do with Bigfoot or the ETs, or they kind of be in trouble. So tell us what's going on here. I mean, again, we've heard this before, mainly about people involved with abduction scenarios or being contactees. Mm-hmm. But we haven't heard about this so much with Bigfoot. Why is the government so concerned about people who have Bigfoot experiences?
Well, because of the UFO connection, of course, and they've been suppressing this, you know, for about 5 or 6 decades now. So this is what the government does, treat people like children. Mm-hmm. But they really want to get rid of the Sasquatch, and that's one of the reasons why there's so many forest fires. They didn't just accidentally start. The area was destroyed, so the Sasquatch have to leave and move out of the area because they know the Sasquatch will help some of the people, and they don't want that.
It really goes so much deeper, too. I mean, we could do a whole show on that, basically. But the Sasquatch were seeded here on Earth to be caretakers of Earth, to take care of the land and to take care of all of the creatures here. And so that's why they're helping us now, too, because they can't interfere with the decisions that we make. We have our own free will. The humans are the current caretakers of Earth, and we're not taking very good care of her. But they are here to assist us, especially those with open hearts and open minds that really want to help the planet. And so anything that's against that agenda and all for, you know, Agenda 21, that's what the governments and different agencies are. That's how they're going to interfere. And that's to stop the Sasquatch from helping us, to keep us in control, to keep us out of our own power. You know, there's so many different factors. But basically, as I'm sure you probably know, is that the 1% that's in control of everything, they could be categorized as basically a bad alien species, if you want to put it that way. I don't like to say good or bad, really, because it's just, you know, different agendas with people. But there is a small percentage of the world that's, you know, pulling the strings on everything. And they're influenced by an ET race who is against the Sasquatch. They want to take over the planet. They want to take over humanity. They want our souls, more or less. They don't want us to be independent free thinkers. They want to be able to capture that energy for themselves. It doesn't matter that we're encapsulated in bodies right now.
Well, it's a very sad, sad statement that the military would actually start fires and destroy these beautiful woods and forests, and everything that they're doing is just evil when you think about it. And this is bad news. I'm horrified to hear that these were not accidental and they were done on purpose. That just horrifies me. And this is, again, reasons why I believe, you know, it's so important to have people like you both on the show, because it gives people an opportunity to expand their consciousness, to embrace a new paradigm and a new way of accepting Bigfoot, ETs, all of these things into our awareness. It's very, very important. And to do it as you've done it, with an open heart. But now let's go to some of the other things that we've heard about, we read about in your book about the military actually trying to use Bigfoot. That's another horrific thing. We need to put some energy to stopping this nonsense. It's craziness.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The special ops do their thing. They've killed some of the Bigfoot because the evil ETs that gave our government information, one of the technologies is to cut through and to neutralize the psychic ability. And so they can't use it. So they're just, you know, being surrounded by special ops with rifles. And so they've gone in and killed some of the Sasquatch. And this is part of their agenda, the government's secret agenda.
This is horrible. This is horrible.
It's scary.
And sick, you know, it's just a sickness. And
it's another genocide that
it is.
You know, keep in mind, the Sasquatch people and the ETs, you know, observed how the Europeans treated Native American people, and then how we treated Afro-American people, and then how we treated the Chinese that came over to work on the railways. So we treat them all like subhumans. And this is
exactly
a big problem that we've created, being racist and bigots and everything else. And it's you would think by now we would have learned something, and we haven't. And it's disgusting to me that we haven't.
It is to us too. It's absolutely horrible. And again, this is why the Bigfoot trusts you both, because you have gone in with open hearts and no fear. And this is,
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. GEICO will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, send Yeti on over. GEICO is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What you're encouraging everybody to do, because as you're saying, the Bigfoot want contact with good people. So people who are interested in meeting with them, it is more of a possibility now than ever before. But you can understand their hesitation, given everything you just shared with us.
Sure.
Yeah, and the planet's dying, and it's not from them, it's from us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So we were really, no matter how they want to view us, it's all negative from any standpoint that I see. So
yes.
This is as a whole, you know. That's why they selectively go to people of a higher vibrational frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who are compassionate, people who are empathetic, people who care about other people and about the planet, those people have a higher vibration. And it's easy, I don't know how they do it, but for them to come to people like us, and there's many other people that are waking up and becoming more conscious of them and of the importance of trying to help the planet right now in every way that we can. And one of the ways, of course, is to share the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Now, here's another question. This person is asking, does Bigfoot have the ability to communicate with animals that you typically find in the woods?
Yes. Oh, yes. And they've in Colorado, one man reported that he was on a deer stand, you know, waiting for deer, and he heard deer coming, and he waited, but there was a small 4-foot tall Sasquatch with the deer walking, I mean, a few feet away. They're all walking together.
Oh, no kidding.
In Pennsylvania, there was one reported a Sasquatch walking with a mountain lion.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, a good friend of mine that I was, they contacted me because they were having experiences on their farm, and he saw one of the ancient ones with a human face with a huge wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So they do communicate with animals. They've communicated with Comanche, my dog, when Black Lab, when he was alive. They're very very attuned people.
Yes, and not only do they communicate, but they're able to, take different medicines from them, whatever the animals have to offer, and they're able to shape shift into those animals quite often too. And a lot of people will experience a recurring animal visiting them, and a lot of times that's the Sasquatch.
Mm. Now, let's also talk a little bit about these missing people, the people and children that go missing in our national parks. And David Politis has done a lot of work sourcing these cases. And in some of them, there have been reports of a big, hairy creature. Could be Bigfoot, could be something else. But we've heard from other Bigfoot whisperers that it's not the Bigfoot that are taking children. It's not the Bigfoot that are taking people. What are your thoughts on this? And what have the Bigfoot told you about these disappearances?
They said that the evil ETs have captured Sasquatch and took their DNA and made another complete being. This other being is extremely aggressive. It also can dematerialize. It has all the attributes that a Sasquatch has. They can dematerialize, still be there. They can teleport and so forth. However, they are so powerful, they can kill a Sasquatch, they can kill a ancient one, and they can kill the dog-faced ones, the werewolf types that are really friendly. They just don't look friendly, but they are, and they could kill them. They've been killing them as well. So they're the ones that are taking. They resemble at a distance a Sasquatch, but since no one has sat down over coffee and chit-chatted with a Sasquatch kind of thing up close, that, you know, they have to be a Sasquatch, see, kind of thing, which it isn't. So it's a deliberate deception. It's a deliberate deception in order to, so people are afraid of the Sasquatch, the opposite of what the Sasquatch want, to help us. And that's why they're trying to connect with us. And they're saying they're trying to connect because they want to kill us or kidnap, whatever, You know, so that is the answer. And it has to do with ETs. The ETs are involved with, the bad ETs are involved with this. There's very few of those bad ones, but there's more good ones. And you may say, why don't the good ones push them out and do all these other things?
Yes.
They discussed with me years ago about karma, the importance of karma. They told me I needed help one time, and I asked for help, and it was of a personal nature, which had to do with my ex-wife. And they wouldn't help me. But they didn't say anything, and I was upset because I really needed some help, some advice. And it wasn't until after the divorce that they came to me and we were talking, and I said, why did you do that? How come you didn't help me? You always helped me. And he says, with this, we couldn't help you, because if we'd helped you and told you how to successfully deal with the situation, then your karma would become our karma, because you're down here to learn, and we would have interfered with that. You have your free will, and we won't interfere with that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, talking about this and the help they've given you has been, both of you, has been substantial, but you've also asked them to help heal other people. Have they ever refused?
Yes, they only go to certain people. And I don't know exactly why, but I think that some of the people who needed help, I saw them as people that weren't doing everything they could to help themselves. They wanted a quick fix. They mm-hmm. won't go to people that want a quick fix. They want you to work on yourself. And then if all else fails, they would help. But there was this woman that called me from California, Southern California, in 2005. And we were talking on the phone, and I said to her, I said, what's wrong with your left hip? And she kind of went, oh, like that, you know, and she's, how did you know that? And I said, well, I'm a healer. I've just picked up. I do all the time on people. And she said, well, I've got arthritis. And she says, the doctor told me that three weeks ago, and he gave me a prescription, but I've never filled it because it's too dangerous, the prescription drugs, too many side effects. So I haven't done anything. And I have a lot of pain in my hip. And just as she was discussing this with me, two Sasquatch appeared, I could see through them, beside my desk. And they said, if she gives permission, we will go and heal her now. Mm. And so I told her that, and I said they would do that. She's okay. You know, she just casually, okay. So, and then she started, kept talking about, you know, what we were talking about. And all of a sudden, about 30 seconds went by, and she started to say, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, I don't know. My whole body is vibrating. Oh, what's going on? I don't know. And I said, oh, they're giving you a healing. She's giving me a healing. I said, yeah, you gave permission. She said, oh, that's what it is. She said, I thought they were going to come sometime next week.
Oh, he has to finish his cliffhanger story.
You forgot about it because there's so much else to talk about, but you were running to get that money out of the bank. Thank you, Kelly, for bringing us back there.
And just as I got to the, you know, to back up, you know, I couldn't walk and all that, and the ETs came and healed me. So, again, a couple weeks later, I had to run to the bank before it closed, and I'm running. You know, last time this doctor saw me, I was in a wheelchair in unbelievable pain. And here he is crossing the street, and I'm waiting on the corner, and the bank's right there in the corner, see, just across from me. And he saw me running, and then up, because, you know, he stood there looking at me, pointing to my feet, and he was bald-headed, and he kept patting his head, pointing to my feet, and his mouth was moving, and nothing was coming out. And so I turned and looked at him and said, have a nice day, doctor. And I jogged across the street to the bank. And he just stood there with his mouth open watching me. That's all. He never said a word. I couldn't talk.
Oh, we love that. That is such a good. Thank you, Kelly, for bringing us back to that wonderful ending. Oh, my gosh. And this is all due to your friendship and love for the Bigfoot people and the ETs, because in your case, it was the ETs that came in and helped you.
That's marvelous.
Yes. That I is. Mean, when my editor of my second book realized what I was doing and what was going on at the cabin where I was living at the time, 50 miles outside of Seattle, she said, can I come up and camp out for a few days and try to experience them? I said, yes, you can. So she put a tent out there, and I told her every night I go for my walks, you know, and so I would speed walk and get some exercise. So we were walking, and I have a habit of explaining things by telling stories. It's just I've become a storyteller. So I was explaining something to her, and she said, really? Is that right? I said, yeah, well, wait a minute. Let me explain. And I started telling a story, right? Well, halfway through the story, two Sasquatch came up behind us about 6-7 feet away, but they were invisible. And but my whole body started vibrating. And so I stopped. We were walking, and I said, do you feel them? And, you know, I stopped the story. And quickly said, they're here. Do you feel them? Because she could never feel them. I was trying to get her to experience them. And she said, no. I said, don't you feel them, your vibration? And she said, no. And while I'm talking, all of a sudden, one of the Sasquatch said, never mind us. Finish the story.
Oh, that's adorable. I love it.
They were interested in hearing what I had to say, and they don't care about themselves and all that, you know. Because they get a little, they follow me around, they get a little bored, and sometimes they, you know, do a little trickery or do something funny, you know, because they're very serious when they get serious stuff to share. But on the other hand, they can be very childlike, and it's amazing how they are, their personalities.
Mm-hmm. What is their lifespan?
That depends, really. I guess that the more earthbound ones, the ones that are spend more time on Earth in this density, they live, I think, to usually about 150 years. It's not real long. Mm-hmm. But some of the more evolved ones, you know, that spend most of their time off planet, they can live to be hundreds of thousands of years old, as far as I understand. It just really varies because there's so many different races of them as well. Like the Sasquatch are a more ancient race that lived longer than the ancient ones who came along later, who were more human looking. So it really depends on the race and where they live and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly. That spending time on Earth shortens everybody's life, huh?
Yeah, it does seem to do that.
We're getting close to the end of our interview here, but I would like to make a quote to sum things up the way.
Please,
Kelly,
go ahead.
And this is a quote from a Zen monk who once said, and I quote, "All life in nature has a spiritual dimension and is sacred. When we honor other creatures as we do ourselves, we all evolve another step." End quote.
Beautiful.
Beautiful indeed.
We thank you so much for spending your evening with us, with our audience. We've learned so much from you. And thank you for your courage in stepping forward in bringing this to all of us. We really need to hear this. And I know you have so much more information to share. We're going to have you come back again, because this has been
definitely
a terrific show. And I know how much our audience loves hearing from people like you, because you speak the truth right from your heart. This is your experience. If they don't agree, that's okay. But this is your experience, and you're close personal relationships with so many Sasquatch throughout the world and ETs also.
Yes.
So it's been wonderfully, wonderfully informative tonight. Thank you so much. Promise us you'll come back. Promise us you'll come
yes.
back again to Supernatural
Good.
Girls.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
More information,
yes.
they can go to the psychicsasquatch.com.
PsychicSasquatch.com, and they can buy your books. They are fabulous books.
Yes, they are.
As we've told everybody, please go and buy them. There's so many more stories in them. They're wonderful. So thank you, everybody. And next week, we've got Christopher Macklin coming. He is a healer from the UK. He's going to tell us how it's done. So be sure to join us next week as well. And until then, we'll see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.